Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, we have a caller in the queue, and we're going to get to that caller shortly. But first, want to let everybody know how to get a hold of us. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And callers and listeners may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. And of course, we are still trying to get votes for our lovely cat, Olive. Today is the final day of voting for the Ravishing Rescues calendar competition. And actually, Olive has fallen behind. We actually got an email yesterday, and it was exciting because she was featured in the email as being one of the top five. But then the email must have triggered some votes for other contestants. However, then she received some random votes from people we didn't even know, and then also 50 votes from someone we do know, which we really appreciate. So she's tied now for sixth place.
She's tied for sixth place.
It says seventh. I don't know why, but I'm kind of waiting to the end to maybe put a few votes in and then maybe get her ahead
well,
of this.
Listeners, if
sixth,
you can
seventh.
Lend a few bucks and push
yeah,
her up
push
there.
Her up there. We appreciate it.
She had a rough life and this would be her way of feeling good about
She's
it.
She's been depressed. She has been depressed about falling backwards.
Yeah.
So being a seven is not bad. As I told her, being a seven is better than being a five.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, as far as like a master number.
Yeah, but on the calendar, she wants to be
number one.
Cover.
Yes. I don't know. With the calendar, from what I gather in the email, it doesn't sound like the number one vote getter is necessarily the cover. It's the cover on the cover necessarily. It sounds like they choose the cover out of the top 13. So I think they may choose the best photo, which clearly is Olive. I mean, there's no question that Olive's photo is the best. There's no question.
Well,
I mean,
cover,
and I'm
yeah.
not being biased. Do you think I'm being biased?
I don't think I'm being biased.
That's the best. It's the best photo.
I called Cheryl Teagues and the cover girl.
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at the other photos. I mean, the top 13 photos. And I mean, the other cats are, it's not to say that the other cats aren't pretty, but her photo is the best photo. I mean, it's the way she's looking at the camera, her pose. It's a compelling picture. I took the photo. It's also a testament to the talents of the photographer.
But the...
No ego here.
The whole concept of just that she deserves it. her story is remarkable, and so
it is a remarkable. She does have a remarkable story. She does have a remarkable story, and she does
anyway,
deserve
put
it.
Your put your cast your vote with a couple of bucks, and maybe we can get her up.
Yeah, we have to say thank you to Jay. Jay voted for Olive. He called last show, and put 20 votes toward her, so we appreciate that. And we now have 407, and I believe this is the call.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, this is Michelle. Hi,
Michelle,
Kristen and Neil.
Another vote caster. Thank you
yeah.
for voting for all of. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good luck. I hope she gets it.
Well, yeah, she's in the top. I mean, she's going to make, looks like she's going to make the, one of the months. But, we'd like her to be on the cover, of course.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. So what's up with you? She's 10-17-74. She's a 30 equals 3.
Well, I wanted to ask a follow-up for the reason I called last time. You and Neil gave me some great advice, and I have been looking into things, and I have started things specifically like what you guys were talking about. But I'm not really getting too far. I don't mind it to be a slow process, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be fast. So I just kind of want to make sure I'm in the right direction. So with my dad's military case, with the whole Agent Orange exposure, because I'm not him, so I have to request to, open up his file to get access to it, request, the VA to actually look at his stuff, and I've requested, his medical records and things like that, but, all these things, it's just going to take time. I can't, I just can't get in them right away to figure out what's there to figure out how to move forward. And I was disappointed because the VA office that I called about an hour away, they actually seem okay. The lady seems quite nice. But what I did in the meantime is I called the local VA here because maybe they can help me with the claim. That's what they were saying. And they were completely useless. They were not friendly at all. And they were basically telling me I didn't qualify for anything. I was like, okay, whatever. But so I just want to know, is there something in the meantime while I'm waiting for all this stuff to open, is there something else I can do? Is there something else I can look for? Kind of like, am I in the right direction? What can I do to, I don't care about speeding up. I'm not concerned about that. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right stuff.
Well, as far as the not local VA office, since the local VA office was basically unhelpful and useless,
mm-hmm.
thinking about the one that's an hour away, how were they helpful to you in getting this process started? Because, I mean, first of all, they reached out to you. It's not like you sought them. They're the ones who said, listen, your father had a case open and we're reaching out to you to try to get, to see if there's some validity in mm-hmm. the claim that he has had in the past. So they contacted you, not
right.
vice versa. And
right.
so that's the first off. So, I mean, that's in your favor, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't, I mean, they have to think something's there for them to contact you, I would presume. So in contacting the VA office that was more receptive, what was the outcome?
The outcome was I needed to fill out some form so that they could actually physically look at my dad's file to figure out, where to go, what's in there. And then she was going to talk to the supervisor about, do I have a legitimate case or not? I was going to give her my dad's social, and she looked in the file, so she saw something, but we couldn't proceed forward until I filled out that paper. So I sent her the paper. She neglected to mention it takes 2 weeks, but whatever. I don't care about that. But she seemed pretty nice. She seemed like she listened to me, and she seemed open and receptive, oh, hey, there may be something going on here. And she told me a lot of information, what I could do in the meantime. And one of them was to call the other local office. And like I said to you, like exactly what you just said to me, that it's in my favor that they sent me a letter. The local office said that I'm crazy. It doesn't matter about that. But that's, I don't care about them. That's not important.
Yeah.
But at least she seemed to be on the same wavelength of there's something possible here. Let's investigate it. So
yeah.
I gave her the form. I'm waiting for that. I've requested to get copies or access to his record. I've requested access to his normal medical records. And, I'm just not sure what I can do in the meantime.
Is there any way that you can get in touch with families of of servicemen that were stationed in the same location that he was? I mean, are you in contact with anybody like that? Or
I found a bunch of websites, and I was looking at those. And also, I started to look at some Facebook groups. I didn't contact them directly, but I could see some similar issues with that. I thought, when I started looking at that, I thought I would have access to information earlier. But when I called that woman back, and she was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be like 2 weeks. So that is something else I can still do. I can do that. But I don't have access to, like, what his unit was or anything yet. I have no idea to say, hey, he was in your unit or not, you know?
Right. You don't have that yet. But that's something that you could, going forward, do once you have that information. So you that's a waiting game. Because you don't know if he had any relationship ongoing with people in his unit.
There was one guy, but I think it was from when he was actually stationed in California, but I looked, he died. I think he was from California, not from Thailand, which doesn't really help me.
Right. But there may be, down the road, when you get more information, you may be able to find people, maybe not the people that were in the unit necessarily, because those people may have died already, but family members, perhaps.
Isn't there a military attorney or somebody that can assist her?
That's expensive.
I asked the VA, both of them, is there any attorney within the military that can help me? And they said, no, it's not legal to recommend one. And I'm like, well, I didn't know if there was any connection within you. So they told me no. And I have contacted some that I found on the internet that specialize in that to get a free consultation, but I haven't gone down that road yet because I don't really have much to say to them. I mean, other than what I'm telling you.
Well, you know, they have to determine the deaths of these people, what caused their deaths, and see if there is a consensus on factors leading to Agent Orange. So, mm-hmm. You know, they have to eliminate all other possibilities. A person dies, but it could be for many other reasons. So they have to get very specific. And you going through all this red tape and time and effort is typical. There's nothing abnormal about that. So, you know, if you want to go on this journey, you're going to have to not sit there and say, well, it's going to take time, I'm frustrated. Take that out of your mind, because that's just going to be a confusing factor that you're equating into the result. Forget about the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stop your life and just dwell on this, but you've got to incorporate, well, I've got certain steps I've got to take, maybe getting an attorney, contacting people, making connections within the service with people who are pertinent to the issue at hand, and go forward.
Right.
And just, you know, don't start off running 100 miles an hour when you've got 100 miles to run.
So I think the other thing is case studies of those that were not in Vietnam necessarily, but were in Thailand and exposed to Agent Orange and experienced ill effects, because there's got to be case studies of people who were affected by Agent Orange that weren't in Vietnam.
Yeah, and I believe I found some of that. I found a whole bunch of links and articles that I just didn't, that looked to be related to that. I just didn't go back and read them yet.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
So, you know, starting to research those and maybe contacting people, seeing how you can relate them to your father's case, you know, tracking the similarities, in terms of your father's symptoms, the fact that he had, I remember you saying he had a heart attack at the age of like 36 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Was it 36 years old? I don't know.
I think it was 34, but that's the same
34.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. So very young age. And, you know, making, doing very diligent research and charting your research, those are things that you can do right now while you're waiting to hear back from the office that's being more friendly. And I would forget about the local office. You know, they're not willing to help. Forget it. Sounds like you've got an office that's willing to assist you and that seems to think that you have a case. So go with them, you know.
You know, Michelle, when we bring in numerology into this, which is still a significant consideration in terms of how you're going to be operating, your year, 1974, that factors into a 12, results into a 12-3, which is your master number. Now, when we take the inverted numbers of 74 and we get 47, we're coming up to your birthday.
Yeah.
Now, that code, 47,
yeah,
it mirrored by 74. And the 1974 resulting in a 3 does have some numerical consequences in terms of translating it to your life. 7-4 is an 11, which means that the results of your success come through great turmoil. So you're actually probably were conditioned to experience this. Your father dying, karma. You being connected to him through past life, karma. You going on this journey for now, really, advantages to yourself ultimately still result in a certain aspect of karma. So your day is a split of an 8, which means that to get money, the money factor you're going through results from a past life energy that has to do with money. So there was already a tragedy regarding money in a past life. And it was the result of a spiritual separation from the body. It was some kind of dissension. Something was wrong.
So essentially, meaning aside from the fact that there's a spiritual dissension, it's not going to come. It's not an easy, it's not handed to her. It's not like there's a solid in her day. It's broken.
But the advantage.
Yeah, there is an advantage. The fact
you
that,
have is that the 7 in the day is reflected by the 7 in the year. And that becomes 14, which you actually have in your linear code. You have a 1 and a 4. Now, if we're going to analyze this by numerical variations, then we could suggest that possibly at 47, you get a major boost, if not a end result to this issue. I would say that would be outstanding in time because this something like this could take years, more or less a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we need to do. Along your line of history, you may want to pull out of your history, whether it's significant to you or not, the name Karen. If there's a name Karen anywhere in your history, you may want to pull it out.
The reason I'm laughing is because in my notes, I just, when you said that name, I looked, the last caller we had, the show we did last is Karen.
Oh.
So I just, my eyes fell upon that name right when you said it. Yeah.
So it's not,
it's weird.
You know, this isn't going to change the world, but did you ever know any Karen throughout your life?
I did. There was kind of a crazy Karen I knew at one of my first jobs.
What do you mean crazy?
Like I had a lot of fun with her, but the problem was that she was having an affair with somebody else in my office, and then she would tell people that she was hanging out with me when she was really having an affair with her husband, and then I was getting blamed for that.
Oh, and what kind of job was that? What kind of job was that?
Well, actually, that was actually indirectly, it was a government job. It was with welfare reform.
Interesting. So see,
so
we're linking back to
the field of web. You don't need to mention this on the phone, but as far as you know, was your father loyal to your mother?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, so the So you getting mixed up in an affair and being a sort of scapegoat,
yeah,
or excuse, has got to have some end result. Does that remind you of anything throughout your life? Were you ever betrayed by a boyfriend or?
No, that I can.
Do you wear prescription eyeglasses?
Yeah, contact lenses.
Yeah, because when you said no, I had an image of your voice told me you wear glasses. When you said no, your voice told me you wear glasses. So are you nearsighted or farsighted?
Nearsighted.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to ask you a crazy question. This is the crazy show. Have you ever played Monopoly? Have you ever played Monopoly?
I love Monopoly, and actually my dad used to hate to play Monopoly with me because he said it was too much like real life.
Oh.
Okay, so now we brought in the a love you have contrasted with a hate your father had. So now we brought your father back into it in this journey of trying to calculate where we're going. Somebody out there may say this is the biggest piece of nonsense I've ever heard, but it doesn't matter. That's not what we're doing. We're Columbo. We're putting the issues together here, getting things. Now, have you ever had an attack with any animal that was infested with fleas?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever had an animal?
Oh, I did have lice one time, if you consider that.
That's it. I had lice
when we visited California, my relatives in California on my father's side. I got lice from them.
But obviously it came from a person, not an animal, but that's okay.
Yeah. It came from a person, yeah.
Well, were they living in a trailer park or a campsite?
Well,
how did you get lice?
People.
They were living in California.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
It was
lice out here.
Well, no.
I'm
lice
sorry, what?
People, not from
I know,
animals.
But usually lice, you can get lice anywhere.
My
yeah, but usually from
was,
like, you know, teenagers sharing comb.
No, my dad used to say she was kind of flaky. And when we visited California, I slept in the same bed as her. That's how I got it.
Okay, so there's two women. Now we have two women who have kind of hurt you. The one that you use an excuse for an affair. And the other one that gave you lice. Okay. What I feel right now is we're connecting to your father. I think there's some kind of soft pedal communication going on here. And so it's combined with being psychic, and then we're getting energy from your father. And the signal that I'm getting from your father is go forward, you'll win. Now that's what he's saying. I don't know if he's right, but that's what he just said. So go forward, you'll win. Did you ever keep any boots or shoes of his, or is there any issue with boots or shoes?
The only thing I can think of is I bought these boots in Austria, and I brought them home, and then for some reason my grandmother had some weird social meeting where they needed shoes for the tables, which sounds totally weird, and they put these shoes on the table as decorations, and my dad took my shoes.
Well, that's it. Okay, your dad's in the reading. Okay, now I'm thinking, okay, your dad's here.
Okay.
And whose side was your grandmother on?
That was my father's mother.
Yeah. So, okay, so your dad slipped into the reading.
Hmm.
I wonder if he would donate to Olive's.
He may.
Was he a cat lover? I probably not a cat lover.
He was more of a dog lover, but actually we got a cat the same way you did. We went to the Humane Society or whatever. So this lady asked if we would watch her cat for a few days, and then basically she never picked it back up. So we got a cat that way.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Since we're being the go-between, he said he's going to try to help Olive. So,
okay.
Oh, so
really?
We'll
good. We'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Now, The other question, because we, you know, well, we have time. Do we have another caller?
Yeah, we can.
Okay,
we can take
other
some
caller,
time.
Hold
she'll,
on. We'll
she'll
be
wait.
Within three
she'll
or
wait.
Four minutes.
She'll wait.
The other question is, where is the mustache? Who, what individual visualized people?
Michelle has a mustache.
Yeah,
no.
Michelle has a mustache. Drinks a lot of beer.
No.
But where is the mustache?
My dad didn't have one. Both my uncles did. Yeah.
On whose side of the family?
Both, but probably it's referring to his brother.
Okay. Is he alive?
He is alive.
You're acting like he's got one foot in the grave. What do you mean?
He's kind of in prison. So what would you call that?
He's in prison. Okay. Why is he in prison? He's in prison.
Ooh, he did a lot of bad stuff. He's not coming out.
So mm-hmm. He's just kind of there. He gets to have weekends off.
No, he's really there.
He's really in jail.
For life.
Why do you say kind of? Well, why did you say that?
Well, because I said kind of because is that really living? That's what I'm thinking. He's alive, but what do you do with that in prison?
And what's he in prison for?
He did a lot of really bad things.
Like, are we talking about like
rape and
sexual stuff?
Yeah, sexual abuse, drugs, alcohol.
Okay. Well, there's another issue. So your dad is here. This is kind of entertaining. Your dad is here. He's trying to assist you. He wants to assist you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to see this happen.
When they had a close relationship, you know, and when they were, when he was alive, she was very close to her father.
Well, your dad says, no, I cast out enough stuff for these two knuckleheads on this show to let you know I'm here, because I am here.
Yeah.
And they found enough odds and ends to prove it, or to semi-prove it, at least. So what I would say is to continue with the effort to go forward. He will try to slip into one of your dreams. It's hard, but he will try to connect to your astral body in a dream world, and you'll have a dream about him, and it will be like you're at a party, because there's probably going to be other souls in the dream.
The beer mustache. Was he a beer drinker?
No, he wasn't into beer very much.
He didn't drink any beer.
No,
he didn't drink alcohol.
He was more hard liquor.
He did drink. He did drink. Did he have a drinking problem?
I don't think he had a drinking problem. I just think he drank a lot when he was younger.
He would drink a lot when he was younger. So it was more in his younger years. But when he was older, he straightened out more or less.
Yeah.
Let's not dwell on this too long. But another just quick question. Any tattoos on anything but from the calf down in the leg?
On my dad, no.
On anyone you know?
The uncle I was telling you about, the one in jail, he's got some tattoos.
Okay.
They were there before he was in jail.
That's okay.
We got enough odds and ends going on. So, well, I mean, it's validations. Your dad's here, we feel. It's moving forward. The only other conclusion, because he'll be following you now, maybe this will help in the long run once you do some footwork, but he mentions Niagara Falls.
I know he was there. I've never been there.
How do you know he was there? How do you know that?
He just told me. I remember that. No, it wasn't a honeymoon. He just went for a vacation.
But he did go there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want you to do I want you to go online and just look at different videos of Niagara Falls. Just do it like you're entertaining yourself with little short videos. Look at a couple of them, okay? Don't worry about where this is going. That's another story. But just do that. And there's one other thing. Watch a clip from the movie The African Queen. with Humphrey Bogart and Katherine Hepburn. Do you know that movie? You're kind of young, but.
No, I read a little bit about Katherine Hepburn, so I've heard of that movie.
When did you read about Katherine Hepburn?
Maybe 3-4 years ago.
Why did you read about her?
Because I thought she was cool.
You thought she was cool?
Yeah, and my dad was into movies.
Oh,
so he'd always talked about all these old stars, and I was like, oh,
so
I must have saw something.
Way to get close to him.
Any Irish background in your family?
None at all.
Okay, just wondering because of Katherine. I was just curious. Okay, so go ahead and watch a couple of clips of that. Don't worry about how this all fits. We'll talk about that later. But in this treasure hunt, just do that and then continue, as Kristen suggested, to do your footwork and move forward and keep in touch with us.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, Michelle, if you connect with him in a dream, contact us.
Okay.
Share the dream with us. And of course, you know, if something happens, you know, in the physical realm regarding any movement in the case, definitely get in touch.
Okay, I will. And I really, really, really appreciate this. And I know it's going to take time. I just want to make sure I'm on the right track. And I really appreciate your help and giving me all this advice and information. And I'm doing it. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for voting for all of us. We really appreciate
no problem.
That. Thanks to your dad for wanting to help too. We appreciate it. Okay.
Bye.
Yeah.
He's all about
I'll forgive the fact that he called us knuckleheads.
No, actually, he used to say that term about people.
That word?
People knuckleheads.
Yeah. That was his word.
Yeah.
That's what he just called us too. So.
That's great.
But you know, knucklehead.
An excellent term.
Knucklehead actually was Paul. You don't know Paul Winchell, but that was one of his puppets. And I watched Paul Winchell. So I'll take it as a compliment.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay. Well,
Look up Paul Winchell and Knucklehead. You'll
have a lot of homework to do
you'll
now.
See exactly what I
I got a holiday weekend. I got time.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much again. Enjoy the weekend. Bye.
Okay. We will. Bye-bye. Actually, we hate holiday weekends. No. I don't care for Labor Day or Memorial Day because, you know, the true reason for celebrating has been taken out of hamburgers and, you know, the lake and jet skiing and whatever else.
We're supposed to celebrate life by remembering
that sacrifice and, you know, whatever. No, it would be nice to actually, you know, go to a, you know, do something educational, you know, go to a...
To really understand the concept.
Like go to the Reagan Library, isn't there?
Yeah.
There must be an exhibit there. Like that's something we could do
there
locally.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Is it Reagan or Nixon?
Nixon
they have a
Library.
Replica of the presidential room. It's supposed to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it would be interesting. That's what I would like to do. But everybody, you know, it's we've warped the holidays. Okay, let's bring on 510 and then we'll take 650. It's like the interesting, these prefixes
Hello.
Are California prefixes today.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. Hello.
Hi, yeah.
I had a question regarding who's pulling on my life force.
Who's pulling? Neil is pulling on your life force.
Who's pulling on her life force?
Just kidding. Yes. Who's this? Please. Who's calling? What's your name?
Tamika. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's your birthday, Tamika?
06/22/1975.
Hey, don't put a zero where there's no zero. I put one in.
Yeah, I don't want to put a zero before a number.
I know they do it in the
well,
military.
Six,
yeah, but it's just put the
it's
energy.
It's 6/22/1975.
And you have a sister, right, that calls the show too? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I remember you, but I couldn't remember your name. And you are you the one who was applying for affordable housing? You work in a grocery store?
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened with the affordable housing? Are you still in the waiting
list? It finally came through.
You got it. When did you get it? Why didn't you tell us?
August. Well, I'm calling back. August. I just moved in
beginning
of this month.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay, so you are letting us know. Okay.
Yes.
Who's pulling on your life force? Well,
wait a second. Wait. You got the place. So when did you moved in? August.
First.
It's like August 1st. So a month ago. And then you waited a little while to call us. But when did you find out that you were going to move in?
July.
And when did you get the notice? You should have given us a call in July and let us know. But anyway, good. Glad you got it. Is it a nice place?
Yeah.
Good. Well, we like to think that we helped you get it. So congratulations to us.
Thank you.
So, I mean, you would think that things would be going well for you since you got a new place, but you're feeling drained.
It's like it's no matter where I go, I just feel like it's someone pulling on my energy, moving my physical body, pulling at me, tugging at me, pushing at me, turning, twisting my head. It's like somebody's doing it. Something's doing it. It's like I can't figure out who's doing it and why it's happening.
Well, you know, when
or,
we get
or what's it, doing it.
Yeah, Tamika, we have two options. It's a physical being, a person with some kind of energy, or it's an entity, or somebody that's crossed over. I feel what you're getting is somebody who's crossed over, and it's a male figure that was a male figure in life. So what male figure do you know that has crossed over?
A few of them.
Okay. So any of them left? Did any of them cross over with a lot of issues, and they also knew you as well?
A few of them.
Were any of them murdered or killed or died unnaturally?
All of them.
Okay, that's what you're getting. The pull on your life force is coming from souls that have crossed over in turmoil. And what they do is they sort of float around because they have no place really to go. They're lost in the astral field. They see you, and just because of the nature of their turmoil, they gravitate towards your life force because they're trying to find a life force to attach to because they're like drowning. So they're clinging to you.
That this is coming up, I'm remembering us talking in the past about someone that was murdered in your life. So can you refresh our memory? Was it a boyfriend?
No. I'm like, no one was murdered. No one was murdered in my life. I mean, they all passed. That's what I'm saying.
It's jogging my memory. So a sudden death of a young person.
All of them had sudden deaths. That's what I'm saying. They all died suddenly. It wasn't a murder.
Yeah.
Right, but that's okay. I'm trying to figure out where my memory is trailing because it's not specific, but it's
right. That's what I'm saying. I don't have a specific, you know, nobody was just taken out like that.
No, but was it drugs or a car or an accident?
For some, it was just heart attack. Some, it was just natural causes. Most of them was heart attacks. It was like natural causes, most of them.
Okay. The one
old age, you know.
We want the youngest one that died of a heart attack who had a lot of troubles in life.
I wouldn't be aware of that. That's what I'm saying.
Got it. Well,
all I would know is they passed. That's all I'm aware of. They did pass.
Who is the youngest? Okay, who is the youngest? So let's get to the youngest person that crossed.
My cousin, but he died of a heart attack in a grocery store.
That's it. The grocery store is it.
So how old was he when he died?
let's say 40s.
Okay, so that's
the one. That's
late 40s, early 50s.
I don't know if we've mentioned
because I heard grocery store. You know, when Kristen said grocery store, I got a vibe about a grocery store, another kind of vibe. So it's him.
Yeah, he had a heart attack in the grocery store.
And died right there?
Right there in the store. At the, well, they said at the bus stop. They found, for some reason, one person says he was in the grocery store, another person said he was at a bus stop.
What
was your connection with him?
Cousin, that's my cousin.
Cousin.
I know.
But was it a close relationship?
What was your emotional connection to him? What did you two do together?
Grew up together. That's it. I grew up around him.
Were you close to him at the time he passed, or were you distant?
No, I was. We were distant. He stayed in a whole different city. I was in a whole other city. I got the call that he passed, you know.
But even so, even if you weren't close, you still were cousins. So there was a karmic connection. You guys were in the same family. You grew up together.
Yeah.
And you can still have, you know, this energy pull from this connection.
But I feel like
there was someone that was murdered, maybe related to her sister, because I'm feeling like something is jogging my memory and it's not right. This is not it.
Well, you know, my father, my father committed suicide. My grandfather died from old age.
Okay, so maybe it was your father that committed suicide. Was that what I'm remembering?
Was that father on your cousin's side, or was that your mother's
side? No, that's my father. That's my father.
And how did he commit suicide? Was it by, like, gun?
Gun. He shot himself in the stomach.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Your cousin, whose side of the family was your cousin on?
It's my mom's side.
Oh, got it. Well, the cousin, not to exclude your father, could be pulling on your life force, but for the purpose of this reading, it could be your father, but for the purpose of this reading, it appears to be your cousin. And so what we've concluded, Tamika, is that the entities, there is an entity pulling on your life force, and it's forces from the other side. There's nothing dangerous about it. They're just
so that's what I'm feeling like. I'm being pulled out of my body. And it's like, it's nerve-wracking for me. It's scary for me because it's like, I'm trying.
We need to do a clearance. I mean, you're not in any type of
danger. And I feel like I'm being pulled by my father and by my cousin. And it's like, for me, that's dangerous grounds. It's like, why are you guys pulling on me?
Well, that's
like, you don't need to pull on me.
It's understandable that you feel that way, but you're not in any type of physical danger from this occurring.
That's what I'm feeling like. When I'm
going
through it,
but we're trying to reassure you that you're not in any physical danger from this.
Okay, thank you. That's what I stress over.
Yeah, you're not in any physical danger. You know, it's just natural. They crossed over, one by suicide, so
which I knew there was something.
The other one, heart attack, somewhat premature. And so they're in a realm where they're just trying to cling to a life force. That's all.
Yeah.
If we separate them from you, it's not going to, we could possibly ask angel energy to envelop their energy around these two souls and comfort them.
Yeah.
Give them some sense of reassurance or lead them someplace in the astral realm where they'll get some help.
That everything is okay. That's what I got to let them know. Everything is okay.
Yeah, everything's okay. They're just knocking on your door because they know you and you're a life force, and they are probably faced with things in life that weren't. They did wrong. That's all. So we'll release them with love. So don't worry about that. We'll release them with love. We'll put an angel around their energy. Are you sitting at home right now?
No, I'm at work.
You're at work. Do you have a desk At work?
No, I work at a register. I work at a grocery store.
Okay, so you're at work, but you're not checking out groceries right now. She's in a break room, probably. You're in a break
outside.
Room?
Outside. No, I'm outside the store. Just walking around outside.
You're outside the store.
Yeah.
I want you to visualize where you live. I want you to visualize where you live right now.
Yeah.
Visualize your home. Do you have any photographs in a frame?
No.
You don't have a photograph in a frame. Do you have photographs at all?
I have no photographs in my home.
You have no photographs in your home. How about on your phone?
No. No. No, I have not of them. Not of any of them, no.
Well, let's not go that route. There was something about a photograph. Maybe that will show up later. I don't know. It's not important because we're not trying to keep them attached to you anyways. We're just sending angelic energy to release them from you so you can feel more at peace and not feel guilty that you released yourself from them. That's all we're doing. But there is something about a photograph. I don't know what that is yet. We don't need to figure it out at the moment. But we'll put that in the Tamika. And we've identified what's been going on. There's nothing to worry about. We're attempting to release them with love, put an angel around them, and don't worry now. Don't worry.
Okay.
You know, we figured it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
That was very helpful and insightful because it cleared a lot of thoughts out of my head. Thank you very much.
Okay,
good.
Great. Oh, you work in a grocery store. Do you know when you have do self-checkout?
Oh.
No, we don't have any self-checkouts.
Well, you don't.
You don't have it in your self-checkout?
You don't have
it. No, they won't put it in my store because they feel like it's taking away human jobs.
Oh, well, that's good. We shouldn't do
self-checkout.
We just
were curious.
We had a question about self-checkout, but you won't be able to answer.
Yeah, but all the other grocery stores out here do have self-checkout. It's just my store doesn't carry
it. You won't be able to answer it.
Would you happen to know in self-checkouts if the person putting the thing on the shelf, can another person at the same time put things in a bag? Can two people be
Yes, they can. Yep. Yes, they can. That's how a lot of people steal stuff.
Oh, so it's a matter of stealing.
Yeah, but there's no rule. There's no rule about they can't prevent two people from checking out groceries. One person.
Yeah, no.
They can't.
No, it's one person at it's one person at a time at the self checkout.
Oh, you can't.
Two people
can't
be ringed. Yeah, two people can't ring up groceries on one self checkout because that means one person is paying for the whole bill.
Can a husband and wife come to the self-checkout? Can the wife do the register and calculate everything and the husband pack it in the bag?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, you can do it that way, yeah.
Okay, just wondered. Just wondered.
Yeah.
Curious. This has nothing to do with the ghosts.
No, this is just...
No. Yeah, you can do that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we thought so. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Tamika.
You're welcome. All right.
You're answering our questions.
You have a great name. I like that name.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, have a good day.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, our other caller dropped, Zara. I don't know why, but I guess she got tired of waiting.
She was on our show just recently.
I know. She got tired of waiting.
Well,
or she had to go. I mean, I don't know if she got tired of waiting. It's unfair to assume that.
And she might have had to go.
Yes. We have.
So we connected to two people regarding two spirits, or at least maybe three spirits. It's like Scrooge, the Christmas past, present, and future. But how does a spirit or a soul know about like doing a show when they're suddenly there. Well, how does the shark know that there's something wiggling in the water miles away? Or how, you know, the scent of something, the vibration of something.
Well, I mean,
it's a vibrational field,
right? And of course,
that the souls connect to.
Right, and if the soul's connected to the vibrational field of the person who's calling into the show, then the soul is going to be aware of the show because he's connected to the vibrational field to the person that's calling the show. I mean, you know, at least in Michelle's case.
Well, psychics will, when psychics work, they send out a vibration. They happen to, they're like a bugle boy. They send out a vibration. It's a vibration that is sent out into the astral realm because they have sort of their chakras have been open to that. And then that signal can be heard. You know, it's amazing some of these seabirds, when you have thousands of seabirds on an island, the seabird can identify the baby bird and find exactly where their offspring is and vice versa. Out of the multitude of sounds. So in the astral realm, there is a multitude of sounds going on. The whales right now are disturbed by naval sonar, and all kinds of sounds are going on so much in the channels of the sea that whales can't even find their young anymore. They lose their navigational field. The sounds are tremendously noisy, just like if you were on a freeway.
It's terrible.
In the astral realm, in the invisible sounds, in the astral vocalizations, if you will, the sounds of the astral realm, it's not silent. It is not silent. There is a different kind of sound in the astral realm. When I go in there, I don't hear silence. I you know, a lot
it's
of
not
people
like
who are,
Simon and Garfunkel.
No, there's no sound. That might be in space, but in the astral realm, there are sounds, tremendous amounts. So, but when a signal is being connected to a certain soul, and that soul receives the signal and it's pertinent to any sort of situation, that soul will immediately gravitate towards the source. And then that's how these things happen. And then once that's happened, there's a sort of tapping communication that goes on where the soul like a Morse code, where the soul has to communicate in some form or fashion to the person that's making the communication happen.
And of course, yeah, and then it gets translated into a language that is, you know, a human language.
Yeah, and then hopefully it makes sense. And
sometimes it doesn't, but...
Sometimes it doesn't because you know, it's like password.
Translating. When the subject, I mean, the person that's, you know, calling for a reading is doesn't know how to work with codes or symbols, then it becomes more challenging. Some people are better working with the language of the astral realm than others.
Yeah.
Some people are really good at it naturally, and others,
on a show, and the psychic said that they were connecting. The psychic was doing a reading for an 80-year-old woman, and he said, "I'm connecting to your mother." And the woman said, "Oh my God, what does she have to say?" And the psychic said that you're supposed to become a fireman. Now, that obviously was not a right translation.
Wait a second. Well, I think it wasn't it a 50-year-old?
Yeah, this is a different reading. One you're not aware of.
Oh.
So, but the attitude, sometimes you get the translations mixed up. But then I kicked in and said, well, no, I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing that she put out the fire. And then the 80-year-old woman said, oh, my God, yes, I left the dish towel near the stove and it caught on fire and I saw it and I approached the towel that was on fire in a flame, and as I approached it, it went out. So that was my mother. I said, yeah. So he kind of got the idea of the fireman, but it got all mixed up in the translation. So sometimes you have to kind of sort things out and get down to the basics of the of what the essence is in terms of the language.
It, yeah, it's true.
Of
it
spirit.
Is true.
So, and that's what we try to do with, not all of our readings have to do with
spirits no.
and souls and angels. Sometimes it's just raw material, being psychic. And sometimes it's
sewage.
Raw
material.
Sanitation. You know, but sanitation has the word saint in it.
Yeah, if you mix things around,
if you mix things
around,
so you know, cleanup jobs.
Yes. Well, you know. Oh, there's our little blockhead.
So. Okay,
shining
so,
in at the end of our show.
Yeah, so anyways.
We are at
Zara,
the end of our
call
show.
Call us back next time. And,
I don't think she's listening. I don't know what, I wonder what she was calling about.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
She's
considering
a therapist?
She just, no, I mean, she's social work. Done work in social work, I think is her background, but she's been out of the workforce for quite a long time.
Oh.
And she moved recently from the Bay Area in California to New Jersey. And she didn't tell us that she moved at the end of last year. I didn't know she moved, but she did. She had her house for sale. We knew she was selling her house, and we thought she was making a move locally, but she ended up moving to across the country, which is a surprise. But anyway, yes, we are back on the air on Wednesday. Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, our regular time, and we hope some of you decide to cast your votes for Olive. Only a few hours left. We hope she makes that calendar, and we will speak with you next week. Bye-bye.